time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Elk, the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Got the fumble mouth going on already. Nice toasty day out there. 86 degrees at Hollis, 88 at Altus, 87 at Mangum, 85 at Buffalo, 83 at Slapout, 79 at Watonga, and 77 over there in Helena. Let's see what's happening out in the Texas Panhandle. Pretty toasty out there, too. 87 at Wellington, 87 at Childress, 84 at Canadian, Texas, and 86 at Lipscomb, and 86 at Odell. I'll have more on your weather coming up. It sounds like, according to some weather experts, the rain's been put off a little bit, but still coming in this weekend. And then I've got four weather apps on my iPhone, and I look at all of them, and they're talking rain starting tomorrow evening, probably more than likely Thursday is what they're saying. So we'll see. Hey, there's rain in the forecast. I did notice Lacey Swope posted on her social media page this morning with Hannah, the other meteorologist there. They are filming Twister 2 downtown Oklahoma City this morning, or parts of it anyway. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Nothing major going on the Clark Ponderosa. Did some spraying yesterday, killed some winter wheat. I'm gonna plant some Milo there today. Got hay to bale tonight. Got my hay down Saturday, and it's already cured out, so I'll bale it tonight. Some pretty humid nights going on, so that's a good sign there's humidity in the area. And I remember last spring we couldn't even get a dew to bale hay, if anybody had any to bale. So anyway, text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. I know we've got listeners up there in Woodward, up the northwest part of Oklahoma, southwest, and out in eastern Texas Panhandle. Text in to me what you guys been hearing hay's been going for. See what the hay market's doing. Today is Hay Day Tuesday. Just want to see what anybody's selling some for. I won't say your name or nothing on the show, but just text me in a price what you guys been hearing by the bale, by the ton, how much, and blah, blah, blah. And we'll see what's going on, because I get that question a lot. Hey, what's hay going for? Hey, what's hay going for? Just what I hear some of my buddies giving or selling for, but just curious to see what you guys here or been doing out there. I'd appreciate it if you don't mind. Well, let's see what's going on in our ag world. I looked at the board just a minute ago, and except for hard red winter wheat and cattle, everything is in the major red today. Stock market, oil, grains, everything but wheat. So something crazy going on today overnight. Also, corn futures were lower in overnight trading as planting in the U.S. rolls on and wheat decline amid improved crop conditions. I mean, why does the market fluctuate just because planting is going on? We plant every year. So it just shows you any little knee-jerk wobble, the market either goes up or down. Just crazy. The U.S. corn crop was 49% planted as of Sunday, the Department of Agriculture said in a report. That's up from 26% a week earlier and ahead of expectations in the Rutgers Bowl of 48%. 12% of the crop has emerged from the ground, double the previous week and ahead of the prior five-year average of 11%. Some 35% of soybeans have been sown at the start of the week, up from 19% a week earlier and ahead of trade average of 34%. 9% has emerged, up from the prior five-year average up 4%. Oh, I love you. He's got me a surprise. Anyway, U.S. winter wheat was 29% good or excellent, up from 28% a week earlier, the USDA said. Analysts polled by Rutgers, however, was expecting 30% of the crop to earn top ratings. Recent rainfall gave hard red winter wheat in the southern plains a boost, but dry weather is expected this week for much of the region. Spring wheat planting continued with 24% in the ground as of Sunday, up from 12% a week earlier, but well behind the prior five-year average of 38%. It's 12% difference. Analysts polled by the Rutgers was expecting 28% to be planted at the start of the week. No ships from the Ukrainian ports were inspected Sunday or Monday as part of the Black Sea Grain Initiative, which is set to expire coming up here in exactly 9 days, on the 18th. Officials from Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations have this far been unable to extend the deal. Corn futures for July delivery overnight dropped 5.5 cents to $5.91 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat for July delivery fell 8.5 cents to $6.45.5 a bushel from the Chicago Board of Trade. And while Kansas City futures lost 1.75 cents to $8.42.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery were down 4.25 cents to $14.29.5 a bushel. Soy meal fell $3.40 to $4.23.50 a short ton, while soybean oil rose 27 to 53.92. Storms are everywhere, except right here for now. Stormy weather is expected in parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota today and tonight, with some becoming severe. According to the National Weather Service, showers are expected today with a marginal risk of severe weather in western parts of the Dakotas and northeastern Minnesota. Meanwhile, some of the stronger storms that hit the region may result in hail and heavy downpours. Some flooding is possible in the area. In eastern Missouri and southern Illinois, isolated thunderstorms are forecast for today and tonight. The chances of precipitation continue through the beginning of next week. There's a big old storm down there in Texas. Last night I was watching it. It was southeast or southwest of Dallas. It was just rolling through there, just dropping a lot of rain going on. Tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. When I come back, I'll update you on current market prices and cattle, and I got results from the Western Oklahoma and the Elk City Livestock Auction Barns from Mr. Brandon Hickey last night. We'll go over with that, and then beef imports and beef exports are on the rise again, so everything's looking a little bit better on some parts and not so good on some of the other. Be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mickey asked the questions. He wanted to make sure things were properly insured as far as values, not to be too high necessarily. You know, a lot of people are probably going to try to get them on up there where the premium is higher, and Mickey wasn't that way. He wanted real values, didn't want me paying any more premium than I needed to pay, but wanted me properly insured. If you start missing things by $1,000 or $10,000, that adds up in a hurry. Either you'll be underinsured and you'll be disappointed, or you're going to be overinsured and paying too much premium anyways. And Mickey made it a point that we nailed it on the head on every little last piece that I had. He took the time to do that. He made sure it was right. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Once upon a time, Jimmy Clark was bit by a rattlesnake, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the rattlesnake finally died. A good afternoon once again to Jimmy Clark's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 8th. 1,204 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 409 brought 266. 12 at 467 brought 258.50. 5 at 562 brought 228. 3 at 605 brought 218. 5 at 812 brought 175. 15 at 845 brought 193.50. 125 at 908 brought 190.75. 3 head of heifers at 307 brought 251. 9 at 491 brought 230. 4 at 623 brought 191. 16 at 697 brought 165. 7 at 806 brought 181. 46 at 811 brought 182.50. 16 at 886 brought 177.50. Butcher cows were 69 to 107. Butcher bulls brought 102 to 133.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction X is 71. Clinton, Oklahoma, that's a sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, give old Brandon Hickey a call at 580-497-6095. I'm talking 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Stockman Veterinary Clinic. Happy Cap Hour all hour long. I've chosen the big town of Dozier, Texas for your update in the weather out there. What's going on in the Texas Panhandle? Humidity is 34%. Dew point is 54. Temperature is 85. The winds are out of the south at 9 miles an hour with wind gust up to 13, with the peak wind gust so far today 19 miles an hour. So far, month to date, precipitation 1.22 inches of rain. That's what, 1,221 thousandths of an inch, as they say up there in the big Grimes area. No red flags minutes, no sub-freezing minutes. Hopefully that's all done with. 8-inch soil temperature in Dozier is 71 degrees. So there you got it. Thank you very much. And all right, let's see what's happening in the markets real quick. Corn, May. 642, down 14 today. July, 584. September, 518. Soybeans for May, 1454. July is 1414. Soybeans down about the same, 14 for May. August is 1346. September, 1274. Soybean meal for May, 419 even, down 6.5. July is 42040. 414.30 for the big month of August. Soybean oil for May, 53.34. July is 53 even. August is 52.70. Hard red winter wheat, $9 even, plus 9 today for May. July is up a little too at 845.60. Oats for May up also 3.30. It's actually in the green now. It was in the red before lunch. Cotton for July, 83 cents a pound. October's 83 cents a pound also. Live cattle for January, or for June, 163.07. August is 161.05. October is 164.85. December is 169.32. Feeder cattle for May, 204.75. August is 225.25. Lean hogs for May, 76.15. June is 84.22. July is 86.60. West Texas Intermediate crude oil for June, 72.54, down 62 cents today. July is also down about 60 cents at 72.45. Natural gas just hanging in there around the 2 to 2.30 mark. It's at 2.26 right now for June, 2.42 for July. NASDAQ, S&P, Dow, they're all down. Anyway, it's everything just looks like it's everywhere. Everything's going on. All right, let's see what happened at the the barns, the livestock barns there yesterday, yesterday and Friday, if I can find it. Where are you at? There you are. Didn't know I went back that far. Okay, here we go. Elk City, there was 1,395 head. Looks like on the steer parts, the 2 to 3 weights were 318 was the high end of what I've got here. And the 3 to 4 weights up to 286. The 5 to 6 weights, we got some 240s and 253s in there. And 6 to 7 weights, 240 was top end there. And then they had a 7 weight there at 204. On the heifers, 2 to 3 weights, 294. 3 to 4 weights, 278 was the highest I've seen in here. There was some from Cheyenne that brought that. Elk City, they had 34 head that averaged 411, brought 256. That was top end on the 4 to 5 weights. And the 5 to 6 weights is in the 220 to 228 range there. And then on the 6 weights, they got some brought a buck 89. 7 weights at 188.50. And then we got my phone froze up. Anyway, the bred cows were bringing up to 1650. I seen some pairs brought up to 2250. Cows were bringing up to $1.07, and I didn't see the bulls before my phone just froze up. Am I the only person in Western Oklahoma on Verizon that the phones are freezing up on their own and they turn their cell phone and turn their cell back or off and turn them back on? And I dropped more calls in the last week than I have. I don't know what's going on, but it surely just ain't me alone. Anyway, I just froze up while I was looking at that. I'll get you Western Oklahoma's here when my phone turns itself back on here in just a minute. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, as the temperatures increase and our drought continues, and it is continuing, remember to keep an eye on your pets and livestock as ticks are thriving. Ticks carry diseases for our pets and robs our livestock of production and weight gains. Contact us for easy treatment and prevention programs for all species. With spring calving winding down, it's time to plan spring calf working and a vaccination program for your cow herds. Call us as we can work together on a program and schedule that will fit your needs and production schedule. Also providing a full line of equine services, including vaccines and dental. Man, it was, I can't remember their names now. They were in there a couple days ago getting some of their horses worked on. And it's been a while since I've seen some horses that beautiful. They had a nice set of horses in there letting Dr. Mouse work on them. Anyway, there's beautiful horses. Remember that good clean water is the most important nutrition for all of our pets and livestock. Please check your water sources regularly. Proudly serving all Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, providing full service to all species in a complete mixed animal practice. Call Dr. Taylor Mouse at 580-225-0200 to schedule a visit or for after hours emergency service. And remember, if you haven't friended your vet in your area, not necessarily Dr. Mouse, I'm talking about all the vets because we're covering all Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle. Starting in June, I think it's June 11th, you have to have a prescription to get antibiotics. So remember that. Don't wait till the last minute to be buddies with the vet, because I know what some of them is going to tell you, because I already heard what they was going to say. Anyways, not that they don't want to be friendly with you or nothing, but just go visit with your vet and say, hey, I've been doing this, and it's all right if I get it from you. Cool. Now my phone's back on. Let's get that going back. All right. Finish this up for this hour. And here we go. Whoop. Wrong guy. That Brandon. All right. At Western Oklahoma yesterday, over there east of Clinton on I-40, they had 1,204 head. On the four to five range, they was bringing anywhere from 266 to 296. From the five to six ranges, they were bringing anywhere from 228, which was cutter bulls. They had some brought 262 that was winged and worked. And then on the six range, the only ones they got on here were some cutter bulls at 218. In the seven to eight range, anywhere from $197.50 to $2. And then on eight range, up to $193.50 on the heifers. Three to fours were bringing up to 251. Four to fives was bringing up to 244. And this is just what they got wrote down on this page. That doesn't mean none brought more or less. This is what they got me here. Six to seven range, they was 165 up to $2 on the heifers. And then on the seven to eight range, 191.50. And then eight to nine range, they were bringing anywhere from $1.77.50 to $182.50. And let me get back. There we go. $1.33.50 on was top end on butcher bulls and on butcher cows, 107 also at Clinton yesterday. So anyway, market looks like it's still rock solid, and which is a good thing. Well, let's take a Stockman's Vet break, and when I come back, I'll have more for you to listen to.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
Anytime Jimmy Clark enters a room, he don't turn the lights on. He turns the dark off. Stewards of the land, this is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 5th. 1,395 head were sold. Four head of steers at 238 brought 318. 22 at 427 brought 286. Five at 502 brought 253. Eight at 581 brought 244. At 620 brought 220. Nine at 634 brought 238. Eight at 746 brought 207. Seven head of heifers at 266 brought 294. Five at 347 brought 244. Six at 506 brought 222. Three at 517 brought 227. Eight at 531 brought 219. Four at 696 brought 189.50. 16 at 891 brought 170. Butcher cows were 11 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 80. 180 to 126. Bred cows were 960 to 1650. Pairs brought 1150 to 2225. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095. All right, Jimmy, go ahead and turn the dark back on.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Hour, all hour. Let me get back on the right page here and check it out. Let's, who should we do up there in northwestern Oklahoma today? Let me take a guess here. Let's go with the May Ranch. How about that? Right there on the Kansas-Oklahoma border there. Currently, it's 84 degrees. Dew point's 66, humidity's 56. They might still be bundling some hay if they had some up there to bale. So if they had it down. So anyway, be good. Winds are out of southeast at 16 miles an hour with wind gust to 22. Sunrise 6:35, sunset 8:31. Today 30% chance of thunderstorms and 92. Tonight 30% chance of rain. Also 30% chance tomorrow at 84. A little cooler and. Tomorrow night, 40% chance of rain, 60% chance Thursday with a high of 81. Friday, 87, and then rain moves back in Friday night with a 40% chance of rain showers and 75 for a high Saturday with a 50% chance of rain. That's a nice looking forecast. I know it's just got 30, 40, 20s, but there's two 50s and a 60 in there, so everything's good. That's your May Ranch forecast up there. All right, let's see what's happening. I got this cool story that I want to read to you guys. It's a do-good story about a guy making decisions and making changes on their farms. And this was down here in Childress, Texas. Todd Boykin grew up raising cotton with his farmer on their farm near Childress. Later, he worked as a lawyer, but his father's retirement deepened his involvement in the farm. Along with it came for an eye for the soil. Like so many other cotton farms in their community, the Boykins' land was wearing out. My dad was a great farmer, says Boykin, but after more than 100 years of growing cotton, the land was deteriorating. It had been cotton to death, he said. Cotton is a long-stemmed crop that produces very little residue after harvest. After years of growing cotton, the soil was blowing and washing like a lot of other cotton farmers' fields. As an alternative to cotton, Boykin began thinking about growing grass and grazing cattle. On other ranches, he had seen how this combination could transform land. I believe the fields would be more productive as in the long term, seeded to grass. Starting with his father's land with some adjacent 160-acre tracts he purchased that had been formerly grown cotton, Boykin added, seeded the land to grass and fenced it for managed grazing. With grass growing and the cattle rotating through the tracks, the soil soon began to heal. I can really see the difference in the land, he says. It's becoming more productive, and the soil isn't blowing or washing away. The most dramatic evidence of change resulting from converting land to grass came in the year soon after the conversion. There was a big rain followed by a strong wind. We were standing in a large tract of land, and beside it, despite the fact that it just rained, the neighbor's cotton ground was blowing a huge cloud of dust across the field onto our grass. But where we were standing, no soil at all was moving. It was really a stark contrast and the first definite sign we were on the right track. Since those early years, Boykins has continued to buy tracts of land when they come up for sale, converting them to grass for managed grazing by cattle. Over the past 12 years, he has converted to grass some 5,000 acres of land that was previous farmland or was previously enrolled in the USDA Conservation Reserve Program, the CRP. The profitability of grazing cattle on converted ground runs neck and neck with growing cotton, he says, mainly because there are fewer annual operating inputs in the grass system after the infrastructure is in place for fencing and water developments. There's a huge difference in input cost between the two systems, he said. I just have one old John Deere tractor now and some minor equipment. When we were growing cotton, we had a bunch of tractors and a lot of expense for fuel and fertilizers. The grazing system does incur some feed inputs for cattle, protein supplements in the winter, hay in the rare year where drought limits grazing on stockpiled grass over the winter. Why Boykin has found that converting old cotton ground to grass can indeed pay off financially, the greater reward perhaps lies in the ability of managed grazing to restore soil health, increase in soil organic matter signals the restoration is going on good. In the fields that have been in grass for 5 or 6 years, he said, the organic matter has more than doubled. On the land that had grown cotton for 120 years, the organic matter was down to 1% range in some cases. Now it has increased to 2%. After witnessing how a managed grazing system can boost soil organic matter, Boykin believes the next step will be eventually sales of carbon credits. When converting land to grass, Boykin sees a diverse mix of native grasses and forbs. On land coming out of cotton, he fall plants winter wheat before planting grass the following growing season. We kill the weed in the spring and plant the grass and the wheat residue with a grass drill. We need plants other than cotton stubble to hold the soil. Otherwise, it'll just blow. Rainfall and soil type determine which grass can be grazed. If we get a good stand, we can graze a spring seeding lightly in the fall, but our rainfall here is highly variable. Some of our grass seedings have taken 4 to 5 years to establish a really good stand. Boykin builds permanent perimeter fencing around a 160-acre track. One temporary cross fence cuts the track in half to permit rotational grazing. Water developments vary in the main wells, underground pipes, and rural water system deliver water to the pastures. Boykin has self-financed some of the expense of both seed and infrastructure. He also has used some of the cost sharing available through the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service Environmental Quality Incentives Program. In other words, short version is EQIP. He typically stocks 80-acre paddocks with 200 cow-calf pairs. I don't know what you're thinking when I said that, but he moves those cattle to new grass every 3 to 4 days. When we first started, we rotated 3 herds through the pastures, he said. Now we've since combined the herds into one, and it's made it much easier in terms of time and effort. Last but not least, evidence that Boykin's system of managed grazing produces resilient grass was most evident by late summer of 2022 when the drought forced neighbors to sell cattle. He said, I had to destock by 25%, but I didn't have to get rid of all of them. But many conventional grazers had to sell 3/4 of their herd or more. Neighbors are starting to note the abundant grass growing around his place on his side of the fence. He said, one man said to me, you got a lot of grass out there. How do you get that much grass? That's encouraging to me, to have people look at the grass and say something's improving in the land that was going to take care of us long into the future. His robust stands of grass are drawing more than passing comments. They're drawing more opportunities. A landowner asked Boykin if he can consider leasing his land. He noticed Boykin verted grass and wanted his grassland cared for in the same way. I'm going to lease his land on a cash basis, and we're going to share the potential sale of carbon credits. So anyway, it's a pretty interesting story there, how one guy just took everything out of farming and put it back into grass, and sounds like he's going to be doing well. I could see in this story, though, that they didn't cover. I mean, it's a great story, but You know, in that one deal he said there, you know, it's 5 to 6 years before you get full benefit of some of that grass, and that's not all of his grass, just some of the spots. You know, it'd be hard to kind of make the land payments if you don't have it already paid off, if you got to set on it for 5 or 6 years. But anyway, well, let's take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break, and we'll come back. We'll finish up with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around Western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up. Do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
If you're celebrating the milestone of graduation this year, remember, you are one of a kind. No one else has your exact background, personality, skills, character traits, and desires. No one else will follow an identical path. We congratulate the class of 2023 and encourage you to make the most of your uniqueness and abilities.
The Phillips family, who own and operate the McDonald's in Elk City, Clinton, and Weatherford, are super proud of all area seniors and wish each of them a bright and exciting future.
Is it really in my family's best interest to invest in a Signer EMS membership?
Absolutely. For a small annual fee, your entire household can have financial peace of mind even in the event of an emergency. Due to recent hospital closures, the price of your transport may be more than before due to longer transport distances. With a Signer EMS membership, your out-of-pocket expense is covered or greatly reduced. Sign up today at SignerEMS.com. SignerEMS.com.
We actually close our loans in-house, so we don't rely on an outside source to actually close or handle any of the signing of our documents. Most importantly, when dealing with a local bank, you're dealing with local people that are familiar with the area that you can always pick up the phone and call. We take pride in making sure we always return a phone call. Getting back in touch with the person over a phone call is very important to us. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Let's pick the big city of Altus, Oklahoma, as to do that forecast today. Currently at Altus, it's 89 degrees. Feels like it's 89. Dew point's 57, humidity's 33%, 24-hour rainfall, zero. South wind's 12 miles an hour, wind gust up to 18. Sunrise is at 6:41, and sorry. Son, quit texting me on my phone. Sugar Daddy. Sunset, 8:28. Today, mostly sunny, 92. Tonight, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 40% chance of thunderstorms and 84 degrees. Tomorrow night, 40% chance of thunderstorms. Come Thursday, 60% chance of rain. Thursday night, 20% chance of rain. They got rain in the forecast Friday now. It wasn't this way this morning. 30% chance of thunderstorms and Altus. Friday night, 70% chance of rain showers. Saturday, 80% chance of rain showers. So anyway, great forecast for everybody. All right, what is Sugar Daddy? Mr. Silk's got his peanuts going in the ground right now, right next to where he's going to be growing pineapples. Whew. I'd give you guys the location to go out there and see where he's going to plant these pineapples, but I'll be honest with you, I really want to see them come up first. I'd hate to see you guys out there on a wild goose chase to see some pineapples that didn't come up in the Delhi area. So we'll check it out. I have not got one text in on the text line as far as what hay's going for. Come on, guys, give up your secrets. I'm not going to say nobody's names on the don't. You don't have to tell me who your name is. This doesn't have identification on it, ID on it, color ID on it. What is hay going out there for? What are you giving for wheat hay? What are you giving for rye hay? What are you selling it for? Either one. Come on, somebody break the barrier here. But I will tell you, over my text line came, you know how I am about the Clinton Fire Department's third annual Fire on the Fairways Golf Tournament coming up Saturday, June the 10th, and swag bag for each team. And we got breakfast. Each team will have breakfast and lunch provided, beverages by donation, cash payouts, and other prizes for longest drive, longest putt, close to the pin, for the fire pit, and gift basket raffles, games throughout, core sponsors. If anybody wants to enter this, and I'm guessing it's a four-man scramble, I think it is call Stormy Hill at 580-210-210-6962. Teams need to contact Kelly Williams at 580-331-8972. Kelly Williams at 580-331-8972. Also, I'm gonna throw a big shout out over there for Sarah. Matt Riggs, who's the greenskeeper over there at the Sarah Golf Course, he's looking for a kid or two to help him this summer at the golf course. Need him now to go out and help him take care of the course. Matt has brought that course a long ways in the last 5 or 6 years. And so if any kid out there, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, want to learn about how to maintain a golf course, be a good time to go out there. So anyway, get a hold of Matt out there at the golf course, or go by and fill out an application and tell him you want to see Matt, and he would appreciate it. He needs some help out there. So got that going on. $150 a bale for wheat hay that hasn't been rained on. So there we go. We got one person texting in. Thank you, sir. And anyway, that's what it's going for wheat hay. I've heard $100 a bale, $125 a bale. And this is in that. Then I got another one, wheat hay, $125 a bale in the Granite area, 1,400-pound bales. I've heard some hay over around Canute, some rye hay, brought $125 a bale. And anyway, thank you. Keep them coming. We'll see what's going on. Well, let's go to the hay prices anyway, if I can find them. I had them up. There they are. Today's Hay Day, Tuesday, May 9th. Let's see what alfalfa premium's bringing. Let's see who's the highest in the nation right now. I'm looking at Pennsylvania at 405. That's it. Pennsylvania alfalfa hay's going for 400 to 405 a ton. Locally here, Kansas is 234 to 415, and that 415 being delivered. Missouri's 180 to 300. Oklahoma, none available. New Mexico, 280 to 360. That's delivered. This is premium. Texas at 365 to 433. That 433 didn't have a D by it, so I'm guessing that's what it's running. And California's around 325 to 350, and Wyoming's around 300. And let's see what grass prices are. Okay, California 325 to 345. Iowa's 190 to 250. Kansas is 160 to 225. Oklahoma, nothing available. Missouri is at 175 a ton. Oregon's 350 to 400 a ton. They're the highest in the nation. Texas, 240 to 410. That 410 had a D by it. So, anyway, there's your hay prices. I'm sure in the next few weeks with more hay cutting going on, because I know they've been cutting hay in eastern Oklahoma, we will be hearing more about any adjustments in the prices going on. We'll get that. And anyway, we'll see what hay is going to go for. I don't know. If it keeps raining, what do you guys think? Think hay is going to go up if it doesn't rain? Or do you think it's just going to stay stable and going through? What do you think? Is it going to get stupid on us or get stupider? And are we going to go backwards and people's getting rain? More summer forages, cover crops, stuff like that more. So anyway, be interesting to see what this year brings. All right, let's see here. Get this going. This is out of the University of Wyoming in Oklahoma State. They are calling for a single approach on wild horses. The federal government's management of wild horses is doomed to fail without fundamental changes in policy and the law, according to a new paper led by researchers at the University of Wyoming and from the Oklahoma State University. Because contrasting views have created an approach that simultaneously manages horses on the range as wildlife, livestock, and pets. Current government programs are incapable of succeeding, the researchers argued in the article that appeared in the journal Bioscience. I got that. I know I don't. Anyway, for the federal government to sustain healthy populations, ecosystem, ecosystem health, and physical responsibility, lawmakers must properly define how feral equids should be labeled. The scientists wrote, each label, wild, livestock, or pet, is valid, and managed plans can be implemented to optimize equid populations on other land uses. Furthermore, providing a clear definition of feral equids will determine the legal tools that can be applied for their management. The lead author of the paper is Jacob Henning, a former UW PhD student who is now a researcher for Oklahoma State. Henning's advisors at University of Wyoming, Professor Jeff Beck and Associate Professor Derek Skata, I guess is how you Skata, however you say that, both in the Department of the Ecosystem Science and Management are co-authors of this paper. So is Oklahoma's State Professor Courtney Durkert, however you say that, who is a former University of Wyoming student, Colorado State University research. I'm not even going to get into these couple of these names. They're not from around Western Oklahoma. But anyway, they got some people in there from New Mexico, too, and from Colorado. The researchers note, while the fossil record shows that horses in North America previously were, are descendants of livestock that underwent millennia of artificial selection, the paper says. Most large predators that would help limit their population's growth went extinct of the further predator reductions. So wild horses have no natural predators, cannot be legally hunted under federal laws, and are no longer slaughtered as livestock in the United States. Their numbers on the range have more than doubled in the last 10 years. They also note that horses removed from the range by the Bureau of Land Management and held in government facilities and private lands have grown in numbers by 33% during this time. Crazy. So anyway, hopefully they can get it all worked out with that deal, because you can watch Yellowstone and see that they're making fun of the BLM. And when them they was on that the guy sitting on the four-wheeler when they come up from the Indian reservation and said them were all horses, and he said, no, we caught them with a helicopter, or they're ours, we can't do nothing about it. And you know, they just making fun of them. So yeah, something needs to be overhauled there, and it sounds like a bunch of people agree with it. Okay, what else we got? Setting the right cutting height of your swather. Do you know how to set your cutting height, or do you do it just because of the way you like it? As in this case, with harvest timing, cutting heights make a difference in terms of yield and persistence. But there are options and distinct differences between alfalfa and grasses. Carbohydrate reserves for regrowth are located in different plant parts depending on the species. Let's start with alfalfa. I hope I can get this done before the show's over. It's a species that stores carbohydrate reserves below ground in the taproot. This allows for a very close cutting if so chosen. That's the way I always mow mine off, right at the top, and then suck the water right back to it. The overall quality of the forage was slightly better with a higher cutting height. The milk per acre values remains in favor of low cutting rates, according to these authors on dairy cattle. There's also an issue with ash with low cutting heights. The odds go up and an elevated ash contact as the cutting height decreases. It's almost all cutting height studied for alfalfa. The final prognosis is to cut it as low as practically possible. Grasses in general are less tolerant of ultra low cutting heights than alfalfa. So always, although there is a variable between grass species, regrowth is generated within carbohydrates stored in the lower 2 inches of grass. If routinely removed, this will impede both stand growth, regrowth, and longevity, and also leave some plant tissue aids help with more recovery. So anyway, for most cool season grasses, such as fescue or orchard grass, cutting heights need to be around 3 to 4 inches. Cut warm season grasses such as sorghum, Sudan grass, or native species, 6 to 8 inches. Thanks for listening to me on the Stockman Veterinarian Clinic Happy Cap Hour today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.